And welcome back. There is no denying that engagement in sports can be beneficial to young athletes. They learn positive character-building qualities as well as have fun. But the fun stops when a sudden unexpected injury or surprise medical condition intervenes. This can be worrisome to parents and coaches. Talk of concussions and other injuries, not to mention the viral video of basketball player Jason Ware going down with a horrendously broken leg, contribute to that concern. What should be done and is being done to protect young athletes? And where can parents turn if they have questions? Joining us to talk about just that is Tony Breitbach, director of the Athletic Training Education Program at St. Louis University. Tony, nice to have you with us.
Nice to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Is this whole issue of concern about young student safety on the playing field, is this a relatively new phenomenon, or has this been a long time discussion?
I think it's been a long time coming. I think one of the things that people are realizing is the fact that is we really need to take care of our young athletes. In the past, it was kind of a rite of passage to, you know, kind of go through these youth sports and get injured and kind of, you know, school of hard knocks type thing. And the reality is we're finding out that a lot of these early injuries in life can really predispose students to our people to problems later in life. Whether it be chronic traumatic brain injuries, or you know, other types of injuries where they just, you know, they're affected by arthritis or other types of problems later in life.
You know, I'll just take one specific example to start the discussion, and that is football. You know, there's a lot of peer pressure on young men to play football in today's world, but that's exactly what you're talking about, because leg injuries, knee injuries in particular, are something that are quite common to that particular sport.
Yeah, they are. And you know, there's a lot of positives with football. I mean, there's a lot of it's exciting activity to be involved with. I think it's really the hub of activity at your schools. It builds a lot of team concepts. But the thing is it's really important that that there's someone there monitoring these types of activities. I think the days of the coach with the first aid card really be able to manage a lot of the types of injuries. And really, we know more about them now. You know, I think, you know, in the past, you know, somebody would, you know, with a bad injury would just kind of self-select out. They would just quit playing. And now the reality is people are trying to play through things. And if you get bad advice, or if you have somebody that's, you know, can't really identify the early warning signs of these types of problems, you can set yourself up for some big problems down the road.
So do you want to have an MD on the sideline at all games?
I really think there's not too many MDs that would be willing to check out of their office every afternoon for the entire year. You know, what's really fortunate is that athletic trainers are really the people that are uniquely trained for this role. I mean, I think one of the things that we have at St. Louis University, we have an interprofessional education program where we all really have a good understanding of what each other's roles are in the healthcare system. And the role of athletic trainers, we're uniquely trained to be the people that provide that primary care on site. And then we make triage decisions where we have to really determine, you know, where they need to be seen, whether they need to be sent to the doctor, where they need to be, you know, we need to call an ambulance, whether we can monitor it at the school, those kind of things. So, that is really the role that I'm trained for and the role that we train our students for at St. Louis University.
Well, it's one thing when you can see a fairly obvious injury, and there are many of those, needless to say, but there is a lot of pressure on young men and young women to play through the pain, as you've alluded to just a couple of moments. You can't see that.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that's one of the things that we, as athletic trainers, because of the way we do our job, we're around our clients or around our patients all the time. And so we really understand what their normal is. So a lot of times when a student is trying to cover up an injury because they don't want to miss playing, we know when they're not right. And so a lot of times I tell our students, I said, when I watch a football play, I watch the players get up. I don't really care if they scored a touchdown or not. I watch everyone get up off the ground, and I can get a good sense if someone's, you know, someone's back's bothering them, or you know, if someone puts their hands to their head, you know, they might have a bad headache after a hit, those kind of things. And so I can address those things as quickly as possible.
We're getting a lot of attention being paid today. And again, staying with football, it's not the only sport,
yeah,
obviously, in which people can get injured. But a lot of attention being paid to concussions. Again, that's something that you can't see very well.
You can, and it's really, it can be a hidden problem, and there's a real sense of the fact that if these things aren't taken care of properly when someone is young, they can set themselves up for a lot of problems down the road. For example, the case of Travis Henry, who was a player for the Cincinnati Bengals who died in his 20s, they found that he had early stages of CTE, which is a kind of a Alzheimer's-like disease, when in his 20s, you know, and that was basically due to trauma from when he was a youth athlete and when he played high school and college. Mm-hmm.
Kids today are bigger at younger ages. The equipment is different today than it was years ago. All of this are contributing factors, I guess, to what we're talking about.
And the specialization, I think, in the old days, you'd go from football to basketball to baseball to track or whatever sports like that, and there wouldn't be that that kind of specialized training, and where students have, you know, nowadays, you know, especially if you look at the NFL, I mean, NFL athletes have mutated over the past 30 years. I mean, you know, it used to be you'd see a 250-pound mm-hmm. lineman. Nowadays, you know, if a lineman's under 300, it's an anomaly, you know, mm-hmm. so.
What about the role of parents in all of this? I mean, they see the kids in a different environment, and I guess if they get out of bed in the morning and are complaining about aches and pains, it's a red flag.
Yeah, exactly. And I think one of the things that parents can do is they can become knowledgeable about some of the symptoms, that the student athletes can let off when they're at home. Like, for example, if they're dizzy or if they played a football game the night before and they wake up a couple times in the middle of the night and vomit, those kind of things, those are red flags about they just don't have the flu. There's a good chance they could maybe have a concussion. I think my experience with parents is there's kind of two groups of parents. There's the ones who really, really want to, you know, I'm fine if my son or daughter plays, but only if they're truly, truly protected and safe. Then there's the kind that are like, you know, they got to toughen up and they got to earn a scholarship and all those kind of things. And I think that's one thing that my daughters both played youth sports. And there's really an obsession with getting my kid a scholarship. And believe it or not, there's not that much scholarship money out there. There's a lot more academic scholarship money than there is athletic scholarship money. And I think it's important that parents, number one, are paying attention, and number two, are realistic in their expectations of their son or daughter.
How much attention should coaches and people such as yourself pay to parents at the games? Because parents run a pretty wide gamut as spectators as well.
Yeah, I think what we try to do is, number one, the student athletes at the high school level are minors. So really, we cannot do any sophisticated extended care without them knowing about it, without them consenting. Emergency care, obviously, we have consent for that. But we try to include them in the loop, try to make them aware of what kind of decisions are necessary to protect their son or daughter. But there's occasionally they'll come to you and you know, I've seen as many students be student athletes' parents be less protective than more protective of their son or daughter. Sometimes you got to talk the parents down. It's like, hey, it's okay. You know, we can miss this week's game, you know, and our team will be fine. You know, we're going to be okay. So, and that's where a relationship that an athletic trainer has with a student athlete, the athletic trainer has with the coaches are really, really important. Because fundamentally, the coaches control, even at the college level, you know, I tell my students, the coaches control the two things that matter to a student athlete. They control scholarships and playing time, and that's really all that matters to the student athlete. All the other stuff, you know, that's, you know, so if we don't have a good relationship with our coaches, we really, you know, have a hard time doing our job.
But, you know, coaches also want to win, and there's a lot of pressure on them to win. And if you've got a stud who maybe is 90%, the temptation is to want to keep him in the game.
Absolutely. And I think that's, like I said, the important thing is that the athletic trainer develops a relationship with their coaches so that they realize that you're on their side too. You know, but when you say someone can't play, it's really for their safety and for the student athlete's benefit, for the institution's benefit, for everyone's benefit.
Yeah. Before I continue with my questions, I want to open up the phone lines for folks who might want to talk to Tony Breitbach. We're talking about student athletes and the injuries they face and what can be done to minimize that possibility. If you want to get into the conversation, give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. You can also send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. And we'll take a tweet at STL on air. Tony, what sort of influence do the professional athletes have? And I'll probably get in trouble for saying this, but I'm going to go to baseball now. Baseball players make a lot of money, and it seems to many of us fans that when any little thing goes wrong, they're out of the lineup. I mean, they're not going to play hurt because there's too much money at stake.
You know, the reality of a sport that's got 162 games in the year, that all 25 guys in that roster are all hurt all the time. They really are. The professional athletic trainer really is in the management of these athletes. You know, none of them kind of get up in the morning and they feel pristine and peppy and great. And you know, they got to get there. They got to log their time in. We have a close relationship with Greg Hawk, who's the athletic trainer for the Cardinals, and they basically on the day of a 7 p.m. game, they're there at 12-1, and they have a routine where he brags that basically one of their staff puts their hands on every Cardinal every day. So, I mean, everybody gets something. So you know, usually by the time that they get to the point where they're out of the lineup, there's been a lot that's been done behind the scenes that no one knows about. You know, for example, the Kevin Ware injury for Louisville. If that would have happened in practice – and it wouldn't have happened on national TV in front of a million people, there would have been a press release that went out and said Kevin Ware had a terrible injury in practice. He's out for the season. And not one more word would have ever been said about that situation. So the thing is, and there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that you know, really the stuff that people know about are either ones that keep you out of the lineup or that happen on game day. Otherwise, things happen behind the scenes that no one really knows about. Yeah.
I think I renamed him Jason Ware in my introduction. I apologize to Kevin Ware for having done there. How much of an influence did that have? I mean, that was a viral video. I mean, everybody saw that, as gruesome as it was.
You know what? It was a great teaching video because we actually, our staff and our students cover, we've covered three Sweet 16s. We've covered the Women's Final Four here in St. Louis. And one of the things we talked about in class that Monday, and we did show the video in class. We didn't show it a million times. We just showed it once. But we said, hey, you know what? We're trained for this. You know, we're highly skilled. We're trained to manage this type of situation. And actually, to be honest with you, we talked about how fortunate Louisville was to have a couple things happen that were really helped them manage it. Number one, the person landed on a flat surface right in front of their bench. His circulation and his sensation was intact in his leg, which he could have been bleeding all over the court. It could have been a terrible situation. The ambulance was right to the right of them, so they could get the person off as soon as possible. That was an elevated court. If he would have broke his leg like that and fell off the end of the court, he could have had a cervical spine injury. He could have a lot of different things. So really, for the most part, it looked horrific and it was terrible, and I would never wish that kind of injury on anything. But there were some good things that happened, which allowed him to be up on crutches within a week, go to the next regional, all those types of things. So he's going to have a good prognosis, I would think, because there wasn't a lot of the other complications that could come from an injury like that. And when we cover the ones at the Dome, we're trained to manage those exact situations. We have everything in place, and you know, we're confident if one of those terrible things would happen. We don't hope for those things to happen, but if one of them would happen, we're prepared to deal with those.
You know, we've all seen some really horrific injuries on the field. I think of Joe Theismann's broken leg, and I think one of the Alou brothers playing here in St. Louis broke his ankle rounding first base and limped into second base. Just an awful thing to watch. And, of course, the football players you see being put on gurneys.
Yeah.
Teaching moments, I would say.
Yeah, exactly. And my question is, my bigger question was, and I actually tweeted it after watching that injury, I said, number one, you know, that, you know, Louisville's got the top care in the country. They were in Indianapolis, which is a great medical town, and they were ready to deal with this situation. What if this happens on a Tuesday afternoon at a high school football practice in rural Missouri?
Right.
The kid's in the dirt. There's really no care there other than a coach with a first aid card. You know, there might be a different outcome there, and that's the reason why it's important for us athletic trainers to be at these schools helping take care of these student athletes.
Let's get our listeners into the conversation. Tony, Richard joins us from St. Louis. Go ahead, Richard. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you very much. I have a question on it comes from several years ago, coaching an eighth grade team, and one of the boys on the end was hit and he broke his tibia. It was pretty serious. He was hit actually by a clipping. Now, my question is, a lot of focus of parents and coaches is on, well, it was their fault. They clipped me. Now, if you have a defensive player who's at a fixed position and a charging offensive player, and that charging offensive player hits the defensive player in such a way, the issue is not clipping, except for the umpires, but the issue is, can the defensive player apply principles of how to fall, such as paratroopers get, or Aikido, Judo students get, so that when he is hit and he's fixed and he flies, he knows how to both do the two-step land and then the roll. And I'll take my the last thing I say, I found this very difficult to teach to 14-year-old boys, but maybe 16, 17-year-old boys. I'd like your opinion on that. Thanks.
I think that that's a good point. I think that principle is actually applied to preventing ACL injuries. I think one of the things that there's the Santa Monica program, there's a program out of Cincinnati that that teaches. They found out that ACL injuries happen as a result of either straight knee landings or a plant and cut. So now there's actually a program where they train people to land better and to cut better to try to prevent ACL injuries, especially in female athletes. There's several problems with football is that there's a lot of times where you're engaged with one player and you have no idea you're going to get hit from another player. So you really can't anticipate that type of situation, whereas a paratrooper, for the most part, they pretty much know they're coming out of the sky and the ground's going to come pretty soon. And we apply those principles to the ACL prevention programs. Occasionally, there is an inherent risk to sport, and there's certain activities. And one of the things that the NFL's tried to do is they've changed the rules, and it's become very controversial. But that's really all they can change. They really can't. They can't tell people, oh, you're going to be smaller and you're going to run slower and you're going to do all those kind of things because you can't control those things as much as you can control the rules.
A couple of 300-pounders going at each other, you can't always dictate exactly who's going to fall how.
Especially when one of them is not paying attention to the one that's coming, you know.
Yeah, sure.
So that can be dangerous.
Kind of blindsided.
Yep.
Let's take a call from Jim calling from Quincy, Illinois. Thanks for coming in, Jim. Go ahead.
Hi, Jim. Hey, thanks for taking my call. Tony, I just wanted to tell you, I 100% agree with you. I run the Sports Medicine Fellowship at SIU School of Medicine, and we use athletic trainers all the time. They're kind of our eyes and ears. But the main thing I wanted to sort of say is that a couple of your points. One is that there's a really good website that the NCAA has that parents can look at that gives you your chances of actually playing Division I, Division II, Division III, and then professional in each one of the sports, and they find that enlightening on your point about the academics. The other point is that the CDC has a really good website. It's called Heads Up, and it's for coaches and students, also parents, about concussion and what signs to look for.
Yeah, that's good information. We actually use that all the time with our students, and that NCAA scholarship information is very eye-opening, isn't it?
Right. And, you know, I think most of the people just want the information because it gets sort of put in the headlines, and then it says, how does it relate to me as a high school student or in a small college? So just wanted to tell you, keep up the good work.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Jim, thanks very much for the call. Well, how seriously this is being taken, I think, is pointed out by something you brought along today, which is the Youth Sports Safety Alliance Secondary School Student Athletes Bill of Rights. There are 12 of them, or 10 of them. We can't go through all of them, but give us a sense of how that came about and what it's all about.
Really, what it came out of a real movement between the National Athletic Trainers Association and a lot of other medical groups, like the American Academy of Pediatrics, high school coaching groups, and they've identified some fundamental rights that student athletes have as far as medical care goes. You know, they deserve to have good coaching. They deserve to have a safe environment. They deserve to have health care. You know, there's an old saying. There's a saying that's been coming out lately. It said, you know, you wouldn't drop your kid off at a pool without a lifeguard. Why would you drop your kid off at a tackle football game without any medical care there? I mean, that's just, you know, it's one of those fundamental, makes a lot of common sense statements, but it happens all the time.
Right. I'll just read a couple of them here to give an example of what it's all about. Student athletes have the right to quality, regular pre-participation examinations. And this is a very important aspect of it, too. Before they even step on the field, they should be checked out. Make sure they don't have a heart condition,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah. And, you know, and I think proper screening by a qualified individual is important at identifying these predisposing conditions that can cause someone to die. I mean, unfortunately, we've had several student athletes die in this area. And they died of screenable problems like, you know, hypertrophic cardiomyopathy and those types of things.
It happens every year.
Yep.
Just about every year. Yep. Student athletes have the right to participate in sporting activities on safe, clean playing surfaces. This seems like a given, but it's not always the case.
It's not the case, no. And I think, you know, more and more schools have gone to that field turf. But what they found is that if you don't keep that field turf clean, there can be problems with infections like MRSA and those kind of things that you know, several NFL teams had to kind of deal with that situation too.
And another one of these rights, and there are 10 of them, I'm sure they can be found online for people, yep, who want to get at it, but a safe playing environment with a specific emergency action plan on site.
Yeah, and we talked about that with the NCAA Regional. I mean, that was one of the things, is they were absolutely prepared for that. A key with an emergency action plan is that you involve all the players and you rehearse it. I think one of the things that sometimes gets lost is that it gets treated like it's a piece of paper, but you need to meet with the EMS people, you need to meet with the docs, and you need to rehearse it. So when it comes, you're not kind of finding your way through it.
In 20 seconds, what's your best advice to parents with a kid thinking about playing sports?
I would say be realistic and also make sure that your high school has an athletic trainer.
Okay. That's what we call a commercial, but thank you very much.
Yeah.
Tony Breitbach, thank you. He's the SLU Director of Athletic Training Education Program. Thank you, Tony. Good advice from you, and we appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for inviting me.
Thanks.
Take care.
Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll talk about corporate social responsibility with representatives from local companies. And then we'll take a look at a new pilot program in the city of St. Louis that seeks to provide summer jobs for at-risk youth. Archived versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Don Marsh.